God, we love you. And we love you back. Thank you. Speak, Lord, and we will listen and follow your instructions and guidance in our lives. For Father, you care for us. And we love you back. Thank you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you would open your Bible to St. John chapter 14. And I'm going to begin a new teaching this month entitled, The Holy Spirit, My Virtual Helper. Say, the Holy Spirit, my virtual helper.
The Holy Spirit, my virtual helper.
Now, I use the term and the word virtual on purpose, not to disrespect the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't want to do that. But to really provide some clarity as to the role the Holy Spirit plays in our individual lives.
Amen.
You see, in our modern technology world that we live in today, we have easy access to information. Many of you work virtually. In fact, if you work virtually, you don't work in an office, you work at your home or maybe different places, would you raise your hand? Up high. So you got a few of you. Yeah, a number of you. More and more people are doing that. Now, you're connected, but you're not physically there. You're able to help, able to talk. I was talking to a friend of mine who works for a major technology company, and for 10 years, he meets with people every week and never met them because they're all over the parts, different parts of the world. And so, but the Holy Spirit is accessible to us.
Yes. Yes.
24/7, 365 days a year. Doesn't matter where you may be in the world. He's accessible. That's what I mean by our virtual helper. And we should tap into his help.
Amen.
Here in St. John chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus is speaking. And he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Say another helper.
Another helper.
That he may abide with you forever. Now, I'm thinking about this word helper. He didn't say help. He said helper, a person. It's nice to get help. But like some banks, they have a personal banker. That's a helper. Say helper.
Helper.
Sometimes there's a personal shopper. That's a helper.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that will just come by your house and some stores, and they're more upscale, but they'll come by your house, show you what you want. You may pick it online. They bring them by your house. You try it on, and then they'll pay for it virtually, if you would, and then you walk away in your house and put on the clothes. Mm-hmm. They're a helper. Say helper.
Helper.
Saves you time.
Yeah.
Maybe not a whole lot of money, but saves you some time, okay? Now, we need to have access to the Holy Spirit like that.
Amen.
And notice what Jesus said. He says here, I will pray the Father. Say, I will pray the Father.
I will pray the Father.
The Holy Spirit is given to help us in all aspects of life. So without his help, life is very, very difficult, if not impossible.
Amen.
This is why sometimes we as Christians have difficulty. We love God. We have good intentions, but we're not tapping into the helper, the person called the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, many churches don't talk much about the Holy Spirit, particularly on television. You know, it's somewhat a controversial topic. You know, in the King James, which is a kind of classic version of the Bible, the Holy Ghost. You know, and then some churches back in the day, you know, maybe still today, you know, the people roll down the aisles and hang from the chandeliers and they hit the brother next to him and they said, the Holy Ghost made me do that. Holy Spirit. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. I want nothing to do with him. Okay. And so and somehow I share that, exaggerating a little bit, obviously, but I share that to say he's had a bad rap. And then if we don't talk about it and explain from the scriptures, people shy away or don't tap into the help they really, really need in life. He's kind of a stepchild. We love God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit. You know what? Sit over here and be quiet. Now, we don't say that on purpose, but our actions reflect that. Can you imagine having a helper wherever you go, ready, I'm right here for you. I'm right here. And you ignore them. And they know they're sent to help you. And the areas where they're sent to help you in, you need a lot of help in.
Yes.
Say he's a helper.
Jesus,
think about it. Jesus thought it necessary to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to help us.
Amen.
Now, this is huge. Notice he prayed to the Father that he'll send the Holy Spirit to be a helper to us, Christians. You mean just being saved and loving Jesus and he's in my heart and going to church is enough? If it was, he wouldn't be sending the help. And he wouldn't have prayed to the Father God to make sure you get the help you need. Mm-hmm. We need the help of the Holy Spirit in decision making. And we'll get into more detail this month. But he's so important. He is vital. Jesus describes him this way. Jesus says he comes. When he comes, he will speak to us. If he speaks, he has a voice. If he has a voice, he can be heard.
Amen.
And he speaks, and then he says, he receives from me, Jesus, and he will tell you what Jesus wants you to hear and know.
Amen.
So he is reliable. That's why he's referred to as the Spirit of Truth. But we can't ignore him. That's my point. And we should learn more about him. Learn more about him. He has a multifaceted role he can
yes.
play.
Amen.
He's a guide. He manifests himself in miraculous ways, like gifts of healing, miracles. Special faith rises up. I recall in the church where I got saved at, or one of the churches after I got saved, started getting my foundation there at Crenshaw Christian Center. And one of the ladies there, she had her daughter hadn't gotten in an accident, and she was pinned down by a car. And she lifted up that car, got that car off that girl. Now, after it was all finished, she probably couldn't do it again. But supernatural faith and strength, it's the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Look at the 17th verse in that chapter, right next to it. Then he goes on further. The Spirit of Truth, even the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Say, I know him.
I know him.
For he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with you and will be in you. But notice he says first, the world cannot receive. Now he's talking about, when he uses the word world, he's talking about non-Christians. And that's what the term for non-Christian is, the world. It's not, you know, California or United States, or it's non-Christians. And so they cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And God says that not because he's hating on them. I don't like the world. No, God loves the world, the Bible says, John 3:16. He so loved the world. But the issue is, I can't put my Holy Spirit in you until Jesus is inside of you.
Amen.
He's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. That's why it's important to receive Jesus, and then you invite the Holy Spirit to fill you with all who he is in you, and you follow him as he talks to you, directs you, and helps you. And I like the idea of him being virtual, because wherever I go, we can tap into his guidance. Sometimes you just don't know what to do. Maybe in an unfamiliar place. Maybe on a cruise, and then you're out on one of the excursions, and an accident occurs with one of your family members or friends with you on your group, and no doctor nearby. What you going to do now? He'll help you. Say, he'll help you. And we've been there. In fact, it was on a cruise. We had to deal with some stuff, and God came through. Say, God came through.
God came through.
Through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As opposed to panicking and saying, God, I don't know what to do! I share that not to be funny, but if we're more attentive and more sensitive to the fact that the helper is inside of us,
yeah.
You would say, Lord, what? Okay, you say, be quiet, hold on. Let's get quiet. What is God saying? As the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. In other words, the voice speaking to you in your heart, that's God talking. In the still, small voice. He rarely shouts. He will. He can be more authoritative, but he speaks primarily in the still small voice. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. The Bible says he's in the still small voice.
Amen.
You have to be listening for to hear a voice like that.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants. Why? Well, thank you, Lord. One reason why he wants you to be like a still small voice, because you got to be listening for that small voice. Then you cannot listen to the loud voice.
Right.
It's for the small voice.
Yeah.
There are a lot of voices out there in the world, my friend. A lot of folk are talking to us. We are kind of news and stuff and news, bad news and all. But what voice should you be listening to? The still, small voice. And sometimes you're troubled about things. Maybe go in the car when you're at work and get by yourself. Or maybe you go home a little earlier. When you get home and just get some quiet, turn the TV off, put the phone aside and say, God, I need some answers. See God. And then just be quiet. Let him talk to you. Even when you go to bed, have a journal nearby. Maybe you prefer your iPhone or your phone or your tablet, fine, but have something you can type in or write down, because he's talking. Mm-hmm. He's talking. In fact, it was yesterday morning. I was up around 2 o'clock in the morning. It was powerful. I'm working on a project and working with a guy and interacting with in Miami, Florida, and we're working on a project together, and I just knew what, so these words start talking to me.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what it was. And my first hesitance was, it's early, and so I'll write it down later. I said, no, I better get up right now.
Right.
And I started writing it down. I was probably up till about 3-5 o'clock in the morning, writing down.
Yeah.
Then I emailed to him, then went and prayed and got ready for the rest of the day. Even though it's Saturday, I had some things to do. My point is, it was the Holy Spirit speaking.
Yes.
And it was so, it flowed, it just flowed.
Yes.
It just flowed, it was clear.
That's it.
He speaks, say he speaks.
He speaks.
But you have to recognize when he's speaking.
Yes.
You know, I had to learn when my first job out of college, real job, and full-time job, and working in corporate America, and you go to the boss's meeting, a staff meeting, and I learned to take notes. Because at first, I just came and showed up and listened and looked at it. Till I got messed up a few times. And I forgot. And my boss said, don't you ever do that again. When you come to the meeting with the boss, you bring pencil and paper. Or you write something down.
Amen.
And I said, well, oh. And I started noticing how he was writing stuff down. But you're from Harvard. You write stuff down? I said, yeah, I'm not that smart. I write everything down.
All right.
And part of it is, you don't want to mess up. You don't want to forget. But part of it is honoring what they have to say so much. I don't want to leave it to chance unless you have a fantastic photographic memory kind of thing. But even then, don't rely upon that. Can you imagine how God feels about you when you are attentive to him?
Yeah, attentive.
And you are taking note of what he says to you. Now, here's God, the creator of heaven and earth, is taking time to send a message to you by the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, and you're going to take a cavalier approach to it or not pay attention? Nobody does that on purpose, but that's what we got to teach and talk about. When he talks, he expects you to listen and to respond accordingly.
Amen.
I know a pastor of a very large church in New York, and a lot of people in his church, and 9/11, he said there was about around a little over 800 people in his church that were working in that those twin towers. Very few, maybe less than a handful died. Handful died. Because they were taught to be attentive. Some of them said they started doing errands, and took off work, or you know, went to the customer early, or they left early. They changed the meeting to another location. Could it be that the Holy Spirit's been working in us all along as Christians, but we didn't recognize him talking to us? And Jesus says, it's so important that you have his help. I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why Jesus did that is that when Jesus walked the earth, He only can be at one place at one time. When he was in Galilee, he was not in Jerusalem. Because he was in this body. When he was in Jerusalem, he was not in Samaria. But when he died, rose again, now he sits on the right hand of the Father God. He sent the Holy Spirit to be and live inside of you. Not just to live there, but to guide and help and lead. And you define the help you need. Whatever, if you consider it help, he shows up. He's down in the spot. In fact, he anticipated the help you're going to need. Oh, yeah. Because he's God.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. I'll give you scripture. There's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's referred to in Acts as God.
Hallelujah.
This is why it's important not to disrespect him, not to ignore him. It is God manifested in the Holy Spirit. Like, my name is Ed Smith. I'm Father Ed Smith to my children, and I'm Husband Ed Smith to my wife. Amen. Yeah. Stop. And now I'm Pastor or Bishop Ed Smith to the church here. Same person, same clothes, different role. Could you imagine my wife receiving me as Father Ed Smith to our children, or Pastor Bishop Ed Smith to the church? But you know, I'm not feeling husband this week. In fact, the whole month I'm not feeling husband. And sometimes that happens out of ignorance. We just don't know. Because we have not been taught, or we pick up isms along the way. We pick up people's biases and what they think about the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm giving you scripture. We're going to give you some more. He is so important.
Yes, he is.
He's not a feeling, even though you may get a sense he's present. He's not an it. He's a person. The Bible refers to him as a he.
Yes, he's a person.
So the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, although he's with you, he will be in you. Say, in me.
In me.
He wants to be in you.
Amen.
Look at St. John chapter 7 and verse 38 and 39. Let's give you some more insight. This is kind of an overview today, and we'll continue on this month. It says in verse 38, Jesus is speaking. He says, he who believes in me. Do you believe on Jesus?
Yes.
I'm sure you do. As the scripture has said, out of his heart. Some verses, translations say belly. But it's talking about the inward person. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When rivers are flowing, that's power. And he brings power. But it comes out of you, out in the inside of you. We have to rely upon the power on the inside of us. This is one of the reasons why the Bible says when we pray in tongues, the Bible says when you pray in tongues, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you edify or you build up, you strengthen yourself, not the body. It's okay to exercise and lift weights and all that and run and jog and all that's proper. But can you imagine always doing the outside body and never strengthening the inside? This is why people walk away from relationships. I just can't take it no more. A lot of it is not physical abuse. It's just that they're not emotionally and spiritually strong to deal with it.
Amen.
But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. And he will strengthen you by the help of the Holy Spirit. And you don't want to pray in tongues? Or if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't take time to do it? You see, in Galatians, it says, Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing. You can be doing good and get weary. Coming home at night, brother, with your wife and kids. You're doing good, but you're weary. All the job and, you know, working 4 or 5 jobs, trying to make it. You're weary. You're doing good, trying to provide for your family. Are you following me? But don't get weary in well-doing. But how can I avoid that if I don't get the help? And the strengthening, say strengthening.
Strengthening.
When I read about the Apostle Paul, he says, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. He wrote most of the New Testament. And he had multiple visions of Jesus. I would think he knows what he's talking about.
Amen.
Not to show off, but primarily in your private time.
Yes.
To allow the Holy Spirit to pray to the Father God. But, you know, it feels funny, Pastor Red. I don't know what I'm saying. He already told you won't know what you're saying. Because you're not talking to you anyway.
Amen.
You're talking to God.
Amen. That's it.
And then it says this. When you speak in tongues, he says, howbeit in the spirit you speak mysteries. Mysteries. What kind of mysteries? Mystery, your future, what you should do 5 years from now to today.
Yes.
Only God knows that. That's a mystery to you right now.
Yes.
And the course you need to take. So what God works from us from the inside out. We have to get God involved. So how do I, if I don't know what to pray, I allow the Holy Spirit to pray. Ed Smith, you about to lose that job. Working for that company right now. But Ed don't know it yet. What should he do? I'm praying that when I'm talking in tongues. Because there's things I need to be doing, but I don't know. So then God speaking the Holy Spirit, come back to me. Something said, I didn't look at that job placement across the street. It came across my computer the other day. Check them out. First, I thought, man, that's not for me, but I check it out anyway.
Yeah.
Kind of find out it's a good job, better job, more money, closer to the house, right by the kids' school. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I got some help.
I got some help.
Single parent, it's hard. It's hard. The helper can help you.
Amen.
See, the helper can help me. Say, the helper can help me. But again, if we're not taught in these areas and it's kind of weird and we push to the background, never talk about it. There are pastors, because I know some of them, who speak in tongues but don't teach their people about praying in the Spirit. You know why? It's controversial. One of the big givers may not like it. No, you don't make anybody do anything. You're just teaching the word. If you teach the truth, most folk, with good sense, I want help. And then if you're going to sign me a helper to live inside of me, I'll give me all of it. I want all of it. Fill me up with that.
Amen.
See, it's when you don't know, then you shy away. Young people, I'm the 20. Well, I was about to say under 40, but I'm the 25. Young people, give God the best years of your life. And begin to pray in tongues. Too often we struggle as young people. We struggle because we're not tapping in. We go to a church like this. Your mama's speaking in tongues. Dad's speaking in tongues. That's their thing. No, it's for you too. Young people commit suicide big time. Why? They can't handle it. Why? They weren't designed to handle it without God. This is why Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Well, without my help for you, you can do nothing. The helper. Say the helper. It says here in John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this spake concerning the spirit whom those believing in him would receive. Say would receive.
Would receive.
For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was there, but they couldn't be filled with them because technically Jesus had not died and rose from the dead and nobody can be saved yet. After he rose from the dead, people can be saved, and then he can come inside of them because the world cannot receive him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Only Christians. It's designed for Christians.
Amen.
Every Christian, not just some Christians.
Amen.
That's another lie. Mm-hmm. I believe in the tongues, Pastor, but not for everybody. Who says that?
Amen.
He's a helper.
That's right.
And I want all my help. Now, the scripture is revealing that we can believe on Jesus and not yet have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. The scripture is revealing that we can believe on Jesus and not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not in you. You don't have the fullness of him. Because he's the one to make the distinction. It was automatic when I got saved, I got all that I need. Why bother asking? Why bother asking God to give them to you? just believe on Jesus. No, it is a subsequent experience to receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's right here in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. It says, he said unto them, the Apostle Paul speaking, have you received the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit since you believed? What did they say? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Why? Nobody was teaching in their community, or in their denomination, or in their church. He said, notice what he says. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? Believe in who? Jesus. Follower of Jesus, embracing him as my Lord and Savior. Committed, I'm a disciple of him. But they have not received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's asking the question, have you? Now, to raise your hand, I'm asking you the same thing. And then he says in verse 6, he goes on further, and he begins to say, well, he said, then what then were you baptized? He said, under John's baptism, that's water, baptism. Jesus was baptized, I was baptized, you should be baptized, we baptize people here at this church. And then he says, then what were you baptized? You weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit? Then he says this, verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit came on them. Say, came on them. And they spake with what? Tongues and prophesied. Notice after the Holy Spirit came upon them. Sound like what Jesus says in Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he comes inside you. And that's how he can best guide. It's like having a private GPS. Amen. Sometimes he talks very articulate language. He'll speak to you like I'm talking to you about some things. Or he may just have a knowing. Sometimes it's just a piece about where you should be going.
Yes.
See, the Bible talks about wisdom in the Old Testament in particular in the female gender. It says, all of her ways are pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace.
Yes.
See, it's the pathway of peace.
Yes.
This is part of learning how to be guided by God.
Amen.
You don't want to make important decisions or any major decision at all when you're upset. I'm just leaving you. You make me mad. Don't do that right now. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't do that. You regret it. Then your pride gets in. Now you said it, and you keep going. You made a decision not in peace. You weren't resting. You weren't thinking. You weren't really listening to what's going on the inside. I hate you. You're mad. Don't say that. I'm going to quit this job. No new job, but you're quitting this one, okay? You go home, your wife says, or your kids say to mama, mama, you're home early. I quit my job. You got a new job? No. My boss made me mad. And you made a decision, not in peace.
Well,
and sometimes Christians do stuff like that.
Yeah.
They love the Lord, sing in the choir, usher, preach the gospel.
Yes.
We make decisions, not in peace. Not at a place of peace.
Yes.
Notice I said earlier, the still small voice.
Yes. Yes.
Still small voice.
Amen.
And we live in a world with a lot of noise. We got our music, we got TV commercial, we got this and that. People are talking and honking and all that. You need a place. That's why it's important to get time with God.
Amen.
If you can be consistent with the time with God, God knows, well, at least I can talk to her or him at a certain time. They're regular. See, because I would like to talk to them the other time, but sometimes, you know, they're too busy. But I know they're setting an appointment with me at this time in their day.
Yes. That's good.
To read the word and just listen. Sometimes just listen.
Yes.
Don't talk, just listen.
Yes.
And then write down what's coming to you. He'll talk about your life,
yes,
about your career, yes, about making his decisions, about how to make up a relationship that's been strained. He'll talk to you, who to pray for, what to stop doing. Don't be so hard. Be nice. See, there are things that God can say to us that will get our attention to do and make a change. If I said it to you, that's you, Pastor. You know what? I'm not listening to you. But when you know in your private time with God, and you know that nobody's there but you sitting on that chair, and all of a sudden he says, you're too impatient. or whatever he's talking about. You know what? My wife been trying to tell me that. And finally you flow. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Because you know it was him as opposed to a friend or someone else. This is why we don't make good decisions sometimes. We're not really getting acquainted and giving time with God, allow God to speak to us personally.
Amen.
So you don't want to leave here today and not embracing all that he is. Mm-hmm. And to receive what Jesus prayed to the Father for you to have in your life. He's not just help. He's a helper. But he needs a heart that Jesus lives in first. Mm-hmm. Then he can come inside.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not, again, God's against anybody. He just wants to go inside a heart that says, Jesus is now inside.
Amen.
While every head's bowed, every eye closed, please.